Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 563. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beautiful white sand beaches, granite boulders, sea turtles and giant tortoises, diving, and in general, tropical paradise as we go to the Seychelles and the Indian Ocean. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. And now let's hear about the Seychelles. I'd like to welcome back to the show Jennifer Dombrowski, who's coming to us from luxadventuretraveler.com. And come back to the show. She's been on the show twice before by our count. This time she's come back to talk about the Seychelles. Jennifer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Chris. It's good to be back.
And I have to pause every time I go to see where we're going to talk about, because you were on last time talking about the Maldives, which are also a tropical island destination in the Indian Ocean. So this seems to be what you're specializing in for amateur travel just recently. Not to mention the time we talked about your current hometown of
Bordeaux.
It's early in the morning here for me. You must excuse me. So why should someone go to the Seychelles?
The Seychelles is a really interesting destination. And I think a lot of times people that do know about the Seychelles and sort of know where it is in the Indian Ocean tend to group it together with Maldives and Mauritius for the fact that all of these destinations are really known for stupendously gorgeous beaches. And that's absolutely true. But the Seychelles has a lot of unique things that I discovered on our trip and so much more beyond the beach.
Well, let's talk about those. Like what?
One of the coolest things that we discovered about the Seychelles is that outside of the Galapagos Islands, it is actually home to the largest giant tortoise population on the planet. The Galapagos is, of course, famous for having hundreds of thousands of the giant tortoises. And these are a different breed, slightly smaller than the Galapagos giant tortoise. But they come from an island in the Seychelles called the Aldabra Island. And there are estimated to be more than 100,000 of the giant Aldabra tortoises on Aldabra. Now, Aldabra Island itself is actually uninhabited, and they only allow 7 people per year to visit.
Oh, my.
Yes. And I was not one of those 7 people, I hate to tell you.
Yeah, well, it's not likely that any of our listeners would make it into that group either. Wow.
No, unfortunately, you have to be a scientist or an environmentalist. But there is another place in the Seychelles that you can go to, which I did have the privilege of visiting, called Frigate Island Private. And on Frigate Island, they have a population of over 4,000 giant Aldabra tortoises just roaming around freely, wild. They breed. So it's really cool. You can go there and you can interact with the tortoises and stay there. And one of their beaches was named one of the world's most beautiful beaches as well. So it's a great place to go in the Seychelles.
You say interact with the tortoises. I'm assuming we're not talking about giant tortoise polo or something like that. So how close are you allowed to get? How monitored is that situation? What do they recommend for interacting with the tortoises? I know you're not supposed to sit on them like we always see in the pictures.
you shouldn't sit on them. So Frigate Island was an uninhabited and pretty much undeveloped island for many, many years. And then the Seychelles went through the period of time where they had a lot of plantations. Mm-hmm. And so the environment was destroyed and a lot of animals and flora and fauna became endangered, like the giant Aldabra tortoises that they used to inhabit all of the islands of the Seychelles. After this plantation era, a private owner came in and he bought Frigate Island, and he developed really one of the world's most exclusive resorts. There's only 16 villas on this island. So at any given time, if the island is completely full, there's only about 48 guests and 150 staff on the island. And it's about the size of the country of Monaco. And the resort itself just takes up a small fraction of the island. So the island has been restored, and part of the staff population are actually scientists and environmentalists who have worked to rebuild the populations of the giant Aldabra tortoises, as well as some of the rarest birds in the world on the island. So when you go and I say interact with the tortoises, the tortoises really run the island at Frigate. They're definitely the ones that are in charge. And you can really tell that the staff all love the tortoises. So, you know, you're not meant to go and sit on them or even touch them. Okay. It's just really cool that they wander right up to the villas, onto the beach, onto the helipad sometimes when the helicopter's trying to land to drop you off. So it was so fun. It was my favorite thing about staying there for several nights, was to always just be surprised with the various sizes of the tortoises and where you might see them. And they mark some of them with a pen on their shell just to be able to track their movements and for their studies. And so you can identify some of them. One of the most famous and the largest, and I think the oldest, his name is James, and they have personalities. So it's really fun to be able to start to learn their names and their markings and to spot them.
And you say one of the oldest tortoises tend to live a pretty long time. So how old is one of the oldest? Do you know?
They believe that James is around 150 years old.
Okay. Okay. I knew that they lived a long time. Actually, that surprised me. I didn't realize they lived that long. Okay.
That's why they're so hard to study, because they can outlive us. So it's really hard to say how old they are and how long they'll live. And he could be there going on well beyond us.
Huh. Interesting. Now, you were talking about Frigate Island as obviously a very exclusive luxury resort. And when I think of this particular region of the world of the Seychelles, I think luxury resorts. Are there other options? I know you are the Lux Adventure Traveler, so you are there for the luxury. Are there other options for people who are getting down to the Seychelles who can't afford necessarily to stay in a 16 villa island?
There definitely are. And I think that's one of the greatest things about the Seychelles in comparison to like the Maldives that we've talked about before. The main islands of the Seychelles, everyone arriving in the Seychelles, unless you're arriving on your own boat, you're going to come into the island of Mahé. And this is where the international airport is. It's one of the largest islands, and it's also the island where 2/3 of the population live. And on this island, there's a great mix of not only luxury hotels, and you can find everything from the Four Seasons to boutique luxury properties that really you can stay in a 5-star resort for less than $200 a night, which isn't bad when we're talking about
for
luxury.
A 5-star.
Especially in a destination like this.
Yeah.
But if you're on an even bigger budget than that, there are a lot of guest houses in the Seychelles, and they're kind of like Airbnb, where you rent an entire house and they come in varying sizes. So if you're traveling with a family and you need a couple bedrooms, you can find ones that have 2, 3, 4 bedrooms. You can find ones that have 1 bedroom. They're scattered all throughout the island. So depending on what you want, if you want to be closer to the capital city of Victoria so that you can have nightlife and easy access to restaurants and things like that, you can find them close to the city. If you want to be close to a beach, you can find them close to a beach, close to dive resorts and dive shops. And really, you can find them from starting from about $30 US.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm being sold the luxury properties on the Seychelles rather than a $30 a night experience. Interesting.
No, we didn't stay at the guest houses, mm-hmm. but we did take a look at them, and it was a consideration that we had for splitting up our time. We spent mm-hmm. 4 nights on Frigate Island, and then we spent another 4 nights staying. We ended up on Mahi. And so it was a consideration that we had, and we actually spotted quite a lot of them that we looked at online, driving around the island and kind of just experiencing and investigating all that Mahi had to offer. And I can't speak to the interior aside from the photos that I, of course, looked at online. But from the outside, they're really nice looking. And I would definitely, if I were to go back, and I do want to go back to the Seychelles, it's something I would definitely consider doing for kind of a local experience.
Okay. Well, and I'm assuming you mentioned 2 of the things that the Seychelles are really popular for, beaches and diving.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we talk about them before we get into and the other reasons you would go? Favorite beach?
Definitely one of them on Frigate Island. Mahi has pretty beaches, mm-hmm. but honestly, Mahi, the beaches to us, we felt like we could have been in Hawaii.
Okay. Which is not a bad thing.
No, definitely not a bad thing. There's still beautiful beaches, yep. but when you Google Seychelles yep. and you Google Seychelles beaches, one of the things that they're really famous for are these huge granite boulders and just white sand, clear waters. Mm-hmm. Mahi, I find that's a little bit more difficult to find there just because it is the main island that people arrive to. So it's not a crowded destination by any means, mm-hmm. but you will find more people in Mahi. A lot of the resorts are situated on the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the resort guests as well as all the beaches are public. So locals mixing with people staying at guest houses and traveling around and just checking out the various beaches like we were, you do have a little bit more people and you don't necessarily find those postcard perfect beaches okay. that the Seychelles are really famous for.
If you had a favorite beach on Mahi, what was your favorite one on that one where everybody can get to?
I think I would say that it was Grand Anse. And okay. it's one of the longest beaches on Mahi.
Okay.
So even though it's one that's very popular that a lot of people go to, you can still find your own patch of sand with mm-hmm. no one around. And Mahi was interesting too, because the water is rougher than I was anticipating. In the Maldives, you don't really have waves. And in the Seychelles, you do. There were a lot of people actually surfing
mm-hmm.
many of the beaches around Mahi. So you have rougher waters than I was anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
And with Grand Anse, it was a little bit calmer. It's more of a bay, so it's broken from the sea a little bit. So you have calmer waters that are more relaxing place to swim.
Okay. And then did you get a chance to dive? I don't remember whether you were a diver.
So we did. I wasn't a diver when we went to the Maldives, but my husband and I both got certified in the Bahamas last year. So that was something okay. that we really wanted to do. And we had an opportunity to do 4 different dives while we were in the Seychelles. We did 2 dives off of Frigate Island. And unfortunately, we had a little bit of bad weather and we weren't able to dive the spots that we had intended to dive off of Frigate Island. So we dove the reef right in front of the island. I want to mention the two different diving spots because the Seychelles has been in the news lately. Scientists are saying that really it could disappear within 50 years. The coral reef systems are essential to protecting the islands from the waves that I was talking about and erosion. And they have experienced some of the warmer waters that have bleached some areas of the coral reef. And that is the case in front of Frigate Island on their surrounding reef. And so we did experience coral bleaching there. But the reef itself, even though it's bleached, it doesn't mean that it's dead. It can still be a healthy living reef minus its colors. And there's a lot of fish and sea life that is on the reef. So it's still worth diving there, even though the reef has been bleached. Now, Mahi is situated just 35 miles to the north of Frigate Island, which really isn't all that far. I used to drive that far to work when I lived in Phoenix. So distance-wise, it's interesting that the reef around Mahi hasn't experienced the coral bleaching like the reef has at Frigate Island. And we did two different dives off of Mahi and totally different experience. Both had a lot of sea life. We had the opportunity to dive with hawksbill sea turtles in both locations, but off of Mahi offered a little bit more of what we've so far experienced diving with beautiful corals, fans, sponges, and the granite rocks that the Seychelles are famous for also are underground, and they create a sea environment as well with fish and sharks even. So if you're lucky, you can see some sharks. Or I won't say lucky because some people wouldn't be into that, but I would have been thrilled to see a shark. We didn't.
I've done one dive. I think I did one exploratory dive and wasn't that comfortable with it. So yeah, diving with sharks, not yet in my wheelhouse, let's just say. Excellent.
It was really beautiful diving. I have to say, you know, we don't have a ton of diving experience, but we have been in the Bahamas, the Philippines, and now Seychelles, and we've snorkeled a lot all over the world. And I've never seen such large schools of fish like we did in the Seychelles. I think it's a really spectacular diving destination.
Cool. Did we want to talk about any other water activities before we go on to other things to do and see?
Well, there are other things to do. You can, of course, like I mentioned, the waves are great for surfing. So there's a lot of beaches that if you're into surfing, you can go surfing. And if you're not, there are places around Mahi that offer surf lessons. So that could be something interesting and different to do besides just hanging out on the beach. If you're not into diving, there are snorkeling operations that go out, and there are great places to do some snorkeling day trips as well. So that's another option.
Okay. And then what else would you recommend that people do or see in the Seychelles?
The really great thing about the Seychelles is that there are other things to do. So you're very close to the equator. The sun's really strong. And sometimes you just need a break from being out in the sun and hanging out on the beach. And the Seychelles does offer other things to do. So on Mahi, Victoria is their capital city, and it's actually one of the world's smallest capital cities. So it's really interesting. You can really kind of cover it in about 2 hours' time walking around, but there are several sites and things to do. The Seychelles was occupied by the British for a period of time. And so you can see British influence. Like, they have a clock tower that is a replica of the Elizabeth Tower, otherwise known as Big Ben, as many people call it, even though Big Ben is actually the bell in the tower.
Big bell, right?
So there's a replica of the Elizabeth Tower. And what I liked about it is if you've watched the Chevy Chase movie Vacation, European Vacation, when they're in the car, there's a scene and Chevy Chase is saying, "Hey, look, kids, Big Ben." And they're going around a roundabout in London around the Elizabeth Tower. Now, if you've been to London, you know that there's actually not a roundabout that goes around the Elizabeth Tower. However, in Victoria, there is a roundabout that goes around the replica of the Elizabeth Tower. So it's a great little opportunity to do some fun videos of, you know, European vacation and mimicking that great line from a classic movie. They also have a fantastic market that is on every single day. And this is where all the locals go to get their produce and their fresh fish. And there are vendors not only selling the fresh produce and fish, but also ones that sell it cooked. So this is a great place to try local Shaloy cuisine, which is really fantastic. It has British, but also French Creole influences, because it was first the French that discovered and inhabited the Seychelles. And so the food is spicy and flavorful and Creole, kind of what I think of, you know, when I think of like New Orleans cuisine. So great fried fishes, curries, all sorts of really flavorful seafood dishes. The national dish is an octopus curry, and it's only served in season. So if you're a little bit adventurous, the octopus curry is really delicious to try. If you're not quite so adventurous, the fish curries are also really delicious to try.
Okay. And I'm guessing it's not a great place for non-seafood lovers.
No, you know,
you're an island.
Wandering on the island. You can get chicken. You can get non-seafood dishes if you're not a seafood lover. So it's not impossible, but it's going to be more limited to chicken. You can find French-influenced cuisine because, of course, the French inhabited the island for a period of time and controlled it. So you do find things like burgers and more westernized cuisine that you can have as well if you're not into the seafood.
And in terms of specific places to eat, did you have any favorites?
Yes, we did. On Mahi, there is a little development that is a man-made island attached by a bridge to Mahi. And that's called Eden Island. And Eden Island is a great place that a lot of the local people go to. And there's a lot of restaurants and different shops and things that you can go to there. So there's a lot of great restaurants that are in Eden Island that are within walking distance of many of the hotels that are also there. So it's a really good place and an area to stay on Mahi for access to a lot of different things. All of the restaurants that we tried in Eden Island were ones that we would recommend. There wasn't anything that was amiss, and you always had local people that were coming and eating and drinking and hanging out there as well.
Okay. Any particularly favorite spots for the food, the view, the whatever?
Well, it's really small. Mm-hmm. So the great thing is that everything is a sea view from Eden Island. I mean, you can walk from one side to the other really in 5 minutes time. So all of the restaurants and marina areas face outward and have sea views. So they're all really good for that as well.
Okay. Anything else that we want to talk about on Mahi in terms of the things you would recommend?
Yes. So we were just talking about where to get a great view. And one of the places that you should definitely visit when you're on Mahi is actually a UNESCO World Heritage Site. It's one of the highest areas that you can reach on Mahi. It's called the Mission Lodge, and it's the most culturally significant place in the entirety of the Seychelles as well. So I already mentioned that it was the French that first discovered the Seychelles, which when they did, it was really like a Garden of Eden. There were no people there. It was these islands that stretched up with these granite boulders, and no one was living there. And so the French settled there, and unfortunately, they did bring their slaves with them. So this was in the 1700s. And when they brought their slaves with them, you know, they put them to work on plantations and things like that. And that's how the Shaloi people came to be in the Seychelles.
Hmm.
So slavery lasted there for about 100 years or so. And then it was in 1835 that they decided to abolish slavery. And so what they did in this abolishment of the slavery is they built a town called Venstown, and it's now where the Mission Lodge is. And they opened a missionary society that helped to educate the children of slaves and teach them English so that they would have other opportunities to work and be educated and grow up to do something other than to be a plantation worker. Unfortunately, the school in the missionary only lasted about 40 years because it's really kind of cut off from the rest of the island and where the rest of the population was living. And they had a lack of funds. The French lost control of the Seychelles during the time. The British came along. So there was a lot of historical things that were happening that caused the missionary to shut down. But the ruins are still there. And Queen Elizabeth came and she made a viewpoint lodge next to the ruins over one of the most beautiful views looking out to the Seychelles. You can see many of the other islands dotting the horizon on a clear day. And this is, again, a UNESCO World Heritage Site and just really culturally significant to come and learn about the history of how the Seychelles came to be and how important the slaves were to building what they have today, really.
Hmm. Interesting. Any other sites we want to talk about, or do we need to start wrapping this up?
There's so many more sites I could talk about, but I know we're getting low on time. So just a couple other things that you could do in the Seychelles. There are tea plantations.
Oh,
so you can do hiking on Maui up to another viewpoint called the Tea Tavern, where you can also enjoy some of the local tea that's made with lemongrass and vanilla and cinnamon and some of the other herbs that grow naturally. You can also take ferries over to some of the other islands, and they're not very expensive. They cost about $50 each way to take a ferry, and you can go to some of the other main islands like Praslin. And what Praslin is famous for is the Vale de Mai National Park and some endemic plants that only grow on Praslin are located there. So you can see those, some more rare birds and animals, and of course, beautiful beaches. You can also take a ferry to another island called La Dique.
Mm-hmm.
La Dique was this year voted as the most beautiful beach in the world. So it is the place where you can go and get those postcard views and pictures of beaches that you really see when you Google the Seychelles. So you can do that as well.
And so that's just a simple day trip then, even if you're staying in Mahi.
Mm-hmm. You can take a day trip. You can go in the morning ferry, leaving as early as 7 o'clock, and then you can come back in the afternoon or in the early evening. So you can do it as a day trip.
Interesting. Excellent. Any place else?
What I would say about planning a trip to the Seychelles, especially if you're going to stay on Mahi. Mahi mm-hmm. is a large island. And so I've mentioned a couple times about Eden Island and Victoria being great places to stay and base yourself around because there's a lot of restaurants and you have access to shops and things like that. In Mahi, they don't like to build roads that go around and circumnavigate the island.
Okay.
Instead, they go right up and over a mountain. And the roads they leave a bit to be desired in certain areas. I will say that if you stay on the opposite, the backside of the island, which would be away from Victoria mm-hmm. and Eden Island, you're going to want to select place that has multiple restaurants, or you're going to want to make sure if you do a self-catering apartment or villa like we talked about, that you do stock up, because I would not recommend that it's safe to drive up and over the mountain at nighttime.
Okay.
There's not street lights. So the island, don't get me wrong when I say safe, what I mean is there's not streetlights mm-hmm. and the roads are very windy and narrow. You are driving through a jungle. So it's very dark during the daytime even. So at nighttime, it's even darker. And we came back just after sunset and witnessed an accident. So that is something that you do want to take into consideration when selecting where you stay.
Well, and it looks like if you were in the far side of the island from Victoria, you're, as the crow flies, only maybe 4 miles. As the road goes, maybe 8, if you went up and over the top, because it looks very windy. And then if you had to go the coastal route, you can only go to the south, and that would be like 30 miles or something like that. So,
So going up and over, even though the distance is not that great because of the condition of the windy roads and the steepness of them, it can take an hour to make that short distance of time.
Interesting. This is going up like past Mission Lodge.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Interesting. Excellent. Well, as we go to wrap this up and summarize, I think you have probably told us already, but the prettiest spot in the Seychelles.
Well, I would definitely say Frigate Island is not only beautiful, but really special. And even though it is something that's a high-end luxury item or place to visit, I think it's something that is one of those places that's worth saving up for and having a once-in-a-lifetime trip to.
Okay. And if we want to go twice in a lifetime and can't afford to stay at Frigate Island, where would the prettiest spot be?
I would say Grand Anse is really beautiful.
Okay.
You are away from the city life and the traffic of Victoria. Beautiful beach. But again, select a resort that has a lot that you can dine and not get bored, or make sure you stock up at the grocery stores and don't drive at night.
Okay. The most memorable person you met, local?
You know, there were quite a few, actually. The Chiloé people are really friendly people, and they love to talk about their island. And you can get them talking about anything from the environment to diving to politics. So really, every encounter that we had with local people was memorable and really just made our time in the Seychelles.
But one of the people that you wish everybody could meet?
I think her name was Gretel.
Mm-hmm.
She's been born in the Seychelles at one point in time, as I think all of us probably do at some point. We say, we're going to leave the Seychelles. And when it came down to it, after she finished college, she decided not to leave the Seychelles after all. And so now she has some kids herself. And just hearing her talk about her favorite spots in the Seychelles and the things that she likes and enjoys and why she ultimately didn't leave was really interesting.
How did you run into Gretel?
Actually, Gretel works for Seychelles Tourism.
Okay.
So,
which seems like a good job given what you just said. Okay.
Exactly. She's a great advocate for the Seychelles. So we had a lunch with her and really kind of picked her brain about secret beaches that we should visit on Mahi and, you know, different things that maybe necessarily they don't tell the tourists.
And one thing that makes you laugh and say only in the Seychelles?
The bugs.
Okay. The size of the bugs?
The size and...
You're in the equator here, so...
Exactly. You're in a tropical jungle. So they actually have a bug, a millipede, that is one of the largest types of millipedes in the world. And it's completely harmless, but it is an endangered species.
Okay.
So you can't kill them because once you learn that they're endangered and they get inside and, you know, so anytime that you check into a hotel or any place, like, people will tell you about these millipedes and then they'll tell you, but they're endangered. So you can't kill them. And you have to laugh because there's this giant millipede that's like the size of your hand and they come out at night and you're like, okay, I can't kill it because it's an endangered species. So you try to like scoop it up and toss it outside and you know it'll be back. It's only the Seychelles.
Excellent. And finally, if you had to summarize the Seychelles in 3 words, what 3 words would you use?
not the Maldives.
Okay, and you mean that in a couple different ways.
I do. You know, I love the Maldives too, but I had in my mind that it was a twin of the Maldives and the two island nations that are really located so close to each other couldn't be more different. So they're both special and beautiful and in their own unique ways, and both really need to be seen.
One of the things that looks really different between the two is, as I recall from your pictures from the Maldives, we were talking about predominantly coral atolls and so very flat, low islands, much more in danger from rising ocean levels and things like that. Where here we're talking about granite outcroppings and mountains to drive over and things like that. So just physically, they look like they would be very different.
Exactly. The Maldives, the high point is like 7 meters.
Yeah.
They're extremely flat and really they're sandbars that move, where these are mountains.
Mm-hmm.
It actually looks a lot like some Caribbean destinations.
Your pictures reminded me so much of Virgin Gorda, my favorite beach in the world, with the baths with the great big, you know, granite boulders and things like that. It looked very, very similar to what you were showing. I think the color of the sand would be a little different, but still a very gorgeous destination. Yeah, very much like the Caribbean, like in that case, the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah, exactly. Mountainous, just totally different look. So,
well, and then the people culturally would be quite different. The people
totally
in the
different.
Seychelles would be people coming down from, I think, Sri Lanka and India in terms of their origin, right? Versus slaves coming in from Africa.
Right. So the Maldives it's predominantly Muslim, whereas the Seychelles, because it was first inhabited by the French, it's predominantly Roman Catholic.
Interesting.
Actually, more than 95% still Roman Catholic. So yeah, the people, the culture of things, just entirely different. And the two very close island nations.
And when you say very close, we're talking about a few thousand miles at this point. So close in a grand scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, our guest again has been Jennifer Dombrowski. And Jennifer, where can people read more about your travels?
They can head over to luxadventuretraveler.com and read all about Seychelles.
Excellent. And thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with us your newfound love for the Seychelles.
Thank you for having me.
In news of the community, don't forget to sign up if you're still interested in the trip this November to India. I'm planning on booking my flights this weekend. That trip is a go. I heard recently from Caleb, who said, "This is my first time writing to you, and it is long overdue. I started listening to The Amateur Traveler about this time last year while preparing for a trip to Poland. Your episodes on Poland in general, but especially Krakow, were highly informative, and I saw many of the sites and traditions that were referenced. I have been a big fan of the show ever since. Later this year, October, I'm planning a 5-day trip to Cancun, Mexico, and I have just started planning a trip by rail to the major European capitals and cities for next summer. Do you have any episodes in the archive that I could reference before finalizing my plans on those trips? I have listened to episodes on individual cities, such as the recent one on Geneva, Switzerland, but was hoping you might have something more specific. Thank you again for the exciting and tantalizing episodes that help me pass the time while I'm at work, in the garden, or jogging down the road. The only problem with your podcast is that it constantly gives me new ideas of where to go next. Sincerely, Caleb." So I wrote Caleb back, and in terms of Cancun, I've got a favorite episode about a trip on the Rutupuk in Cancun, which I sent off to Caleb, which inspired me to go there and do the same trip, and I had a thoroughly great time. We're going to do another show coming up here on Cancun again, because it's been so long since we have done that one. But in terms of Europe, I don't have anything on rail travel specifically. We're doing more destination by destination. So unfortunately there, you just need to figure out which capitals you might be interested in, or which cities or which regions, and download appropriate episodes. I hope you all know that you can find content by country in the Amateur Traveler. So if you go to europe.amateurtraveler.com, for instance, you can find things about Europe, including a list of European countries, and click on the individual countries to see what content we have for them.
With that, we're going to end this episode of The Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. You can follow me on Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram as Chris2X, or join the Facebook group Amateur Traveler. And thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe. I know that I should be heading home, but maybe not today.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.